So Satan comes to steal the word. That's one of the first things you'll have to learn to get anywhere in the Word of God and anywhere in your spiritual growth. You'll have to learn what the Word says so that when Satan comes to steal from you, you'll know this is not God.
Have you ever asked, why isn't the Word producing fruit in my life? Jesus revealed the answer in the parable of the sower. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland examines the first key Jesus gives us. Don't let Satan steal the Word.
We're going to talk some more about, you know, yesterday we talked about the things, people that situations when you come to and you feel like nothing's happening, you're not getting the results you want to get, and you know, it seems like God's not listening. He's listening. He's always listening. And I've got a little flash of revelation here for you today. Whatever the problem is, he's not at fault. He's not the one that's goofing off. He is not the one that's not listening. If we're not getting results, we have to look at our own selves, our own lives, our own words, what we say, what we believe, what we've been doing with our time, where our allegiance is. Amen? So when we have situations, we know it's impossible for God to miss it. And so we talked yesterday about some of the things that words we talked about. If you're there, if you're in a place and you feel like you're not getting results, you can't just start talking negative things and ever get results. You got to talk what the Word says. For instance, now let's just say you're believing for healing, you're believing for finances. It seems like nothing's working. Well, you don't start talking that. You don't give your words to that. You don't give your attention to what you're not receiving. You just put more attention on the Word of God. More Word coming in your ears, going in your eyes, coming out your mouth. If it's not coming out your mouth, you're not applying it. You know, you can have great faith in your heart. Of course, if you had great faith in your heart, it would come out your mouth, but you can have faith in your heart and then not say it with your mouth, and you haven't yet applied your faith. And so let's just do a little review of those words. We said one of the words that I talked about was implement. Sometimes we don't receive because we don't implement. We don't do what it takes to receive. That word means to put into effect, to carry into effect, to fulfill, to accomplish, to provide with the means for carrying into effect or fulfilling, to give practical effort to. So we have to implement the Word of God. Another word we used was engage. I said I asked Ken about engaged, and he said, well, that's a word that the military uses when they're going into battle. They're engaging in a battle. Or I thought about the airplane, and I asked him, what is it that you do when you use your autopilot? You go from hands-on to the autopilot. What do? You engage the autopilot. Now, we have to engage ourselves to receive and to walk out until the answer is manifest. We engage with our mouth. We engage with our heart. We engage with our actions. And we engage a lot of times by resisting the devil that's trying to talk us out of it, because he's going to be there to work against you. So we don't just put up with him. We don't just listen to him and tell us that God doesn't love us, that it works for other people, but it won't work for us, or that God loves somebody else, but he doesn't love you, or that your great sin has kept you from 30 years ago has kept you from the blessing. No, we engage. We just put to that problem with our mouth, with our heart. We don't let the devil talk us out of it. We engage in resisting him. What do you do when you just, you know, there's a problem and you don't seem to be getting an answer, and the devil's talking to you all the time about how low down you are, no good you are, God doesn't love you, nobody else loves you? What do? You engage your mouth and you tell him, devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You shut your mouth. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Now, what happens when you do that? Does the devil have a choice? No. The Bible says if we resist him, he will flee from us. What are you doing when you're resisting? You're putting pressure on. You're pressing against him. You're engaging in that battle. You're not just sitting there saying nothing, doing nothing. Glory to God. You're engaging. And that's what we have to do. So we implement. That word means we implement with faith. That word means to carry into effect, to fulfill, to accomplish, to provide the means for carrying into effect, to give practical effort to. We implement with the Word of God in our mouth and our faith. Hallelujah. And we do not work against ourselves. I mean, you know, a double-minded man, the Bible says, receives nothing. So that could be something. That could be a reason you're not receiving. Maybe you're being double-minded. And one way you know if you're being double-minded, if you're being double-tongued. If you're wanting one thing, but you're saying another. That's being double-minded. That's just your mind coming out your mouth. So God is never the problem. He's always ready. He waits for us to put into effect our faith, our words, our actions. And you know, to put faith into effect, you have to have spent time in the Word. I mean, you're not a faith person just because you agree with Jesse and Ken and Jerry. You're a faith person because you have put your eyes on the Word of God, and faith has come into your eyes and gotten into your heart and come out your mouth. Amen. You've implemented. You've pressed into that place. You've engaged. Hallelujah. If you're believing for healing, you engage in the scriptures of God. You go to the healing scriptures and you go over those scriptures every day like you take medicine. If people go down and they go to the doctor and he gives them a prescription and they just take it home and put it in the cabinet, they paid a lot of money for it, but they don't ever take it. Well, they didn't do what he said. If we don't do what the Word of God says, and we don't just engage over the healing medicine of God's Word, because that's where faith comes from, that's the Word brings healing, then we haven't done our part. So that's just an example of how you engage with healing. You go over healing scriptures every day. How? And you do whatever God tells you to do. If he tells you to quit doing something that's causing your health to break down, then you quit doing that. And then if you're, however else would we, let's see, if we were believing God for money, which we did, what did the Lord lead us to do? We had a list of healing scriptures. I went over those prosperity scriptures. I went over those prosperity scriptures every night. Why? Because I didn't like poverty. Ken didn't like poverty. It was no fun not to have the money that you needed. And so we engaged with the Word of God. Now, what happens when you engage with the Word of God? Faith comes. And, you know, we didn't have much teaching at that point, but still, those scriptures going in our eyes and in our ears, what happened? They brought some faith teaching. They brought some faith into our heart. So you engage. You don't just wait around and disobey God, live in disobedience, and expect to get results. We don't have any limitations except our own lack of diligence about the things of God. We have to engage. We have to engage many times in a battle with the evil side, the Satan trying to kill. What does he do? He tries to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you don't want to be killed, stolen from, and destroyed, you'll have to engage. Otherwise, he'll move right in, take over your family, your children, your money, and everything else. So we have a plan. God has a plan for every one of us. We're a masterpiece. We've been born over with everything it takes on the inside of us to walk out that plan. But we have to implement. We have to press into that place. We have to give God time and attention so that we can get in on the plan that he has for us and walk it out. And he, like one person said, you know, he doesn't make any small plans. I mean, God is a big thinker. And if you'll walk with him, you'll become a bigger thinker. Because he'll tell you things that you think, you want me to do that? You want me to do that? Yeah, he'll tell you big things to do. But it's because he knows if you'll obey him, the things that'll happen to you, good things. So we get born again, and then we begin to implement the plan. The verb implement means to put it, to carry into effect, to fulfill, to accomplish, to provide with the means for carrying into effect or fulfilling, to give practical effort to, implement, it means to fill up in and full, something used are needed in a given activity. So we implement the word. We press into the things of God. Amen. We engage spiritually. And the reason I think a lot of people don't receive like they should is because they don't engage enough spiritually. I would say that going to church on Sunday is not engaging. That's better than not going to church on Sunday. But that probably won't just get a lot of change in your life. Sometime you're going to have to take hold of what that person preaches to you on Sunday, if it's a good preacher, and begin to do it. That's engage. And so that's the way we get to where we want to be in the things of God. We have to engage. We have to press. The kingdom of heaven, it says, you press into the kingdom or the dominion of heaven. Then today I want to look at Mark 4. Here's some things that Jesus taught that, let me get all my swords up here that I want. Jesus taught about what things that might hold you back, things that would keep you from prospering, keep you from increasing. And he told about different kinds of people. Look at the beginning of Mark 4. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them. So Jesus had a good crowd today, and he's beginning to teach them something very vital to help us know how to implement and how to walk in victory. He taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, hear this, hear Ken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now I think because I've kind of gotten off to a slow start here, I might just, well, let's just read through this and then we'll teach through the rest of it. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on the good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears, let him hear. And so the mass of the people didn't understand that, and the disciples didn't understand it. But it says in verse 10, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So Jesus, in this teaching, is teaching the mystery of the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God is manifest in the earth, which is what we want in our lives. That seeing, but it says they that are without don't have any understanding of it. They see and they hear, but they don't understand. Now it said in verse 13, and he said unto them, know you not this parable? If you don't know this, Jesus said, how then will you know all parables? So this is a mystery. This is a parable that is a mystery of the how the kingdom of God is manifest. This is big time. This sower sows the word. So he said to them, the sower sows the word. And these are they, so the sower sows the word. I'm sowing the word today, and there's hearts out here and minds that can receive this word and take it and let it get down in their hearts, or they can reject it. But the sower does his job, and he sows the word. Where the word is so, and these are they by the wayside. So this is the first group that Jesus talked about. That he didn't get, you know, only one of these groups received from God. There were several groups. These are those by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So Satan is right in the middle of the first problem here. He's one of the major reasons, and really maybe the major reason, that since Jesus has already borne the curse of poverty, already borne the curse of sin for us, already borne the curse of everything bad for us, the curse of everything, Satan is the major reason that we have to press. The major reason that we can't just say, okay, I receive it and it's done. No, there's an enemy out there. His name is Satan. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's what Jesus said to them. When they have heard the word, the sower sows the word. When they have heard the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So Satan comes to steal the word. That's one of the first things you'll have to learn to get anywhere in the Word of God and anywhere in your spiritual growth. You'll have to learn what the Word says so that when Satan comes to steal from you, you'll know this is not God. When Satan comes to tell you it's not the will of God for you to be healed, you'll have to know what the Word says about being healed. That Jesus himself, for one thing, bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. Or when he comes to tell you that maybe you read an article in the paper and they're all hot and bothered over people preaching prosperity, and the devil comes and tells you, prosperity is not for you. Prosperity's of the devil. You can even read that in the newspaper. You should know that prosperity, and don't ever listen to preachers that preach prosperity. People really believe that. Why do they believe that? Because the devil came and told them that. Don't listen to people that preach prosperity. Whew. Dangerous, dangerous. That's the devil. He comes immediately and tries to talk you out of it. Or healing. You know, back in Brother Robert's day, when he got the revelation on healing. He was sent to preach and to heal, just like the disciples were in the Bible. And he started preaching, it's God's will for you to be healed. Oh, I'm telling you, people would have hung him up if they could, especially preachers, other people. I mean, there's not anybody in modern day that's had the opposition that that Brother Roberts did. But I was just reading a scripture today. Jesus said this, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So preachers, when persecution comes because of what you preach, you really ought to feel pretty good about it. If you weren't preaching anything, persecution wouldn't come. They're not persecuting the first church of do-nothing over here. They're persecuting people that believe God. And that's exactly what they did. In Jesus' day, they persecuted him. He said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. So we should learn by that not to be moved by the world or by anybody else. But, you know, to be steadfast and not be moved, we have to have the Word of God planted in our heart. We have to know. When people begin to attack you and persecute you, you have to know that you're right from the Word of God. Amen? And that is no problem. No problem. So it said, Satan comes immediately. Now that's the first group by the wayside. The seed was sown by the wayside. Satan came to steal the word. Now in Luke, it says this about that scripture. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside, we'll look at 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So that's what Satan's always going to be after, the Word of God. Satan is after the Word of God. If you don't engage, if you don't press, if you don't implement with faith, he'll get that Word from you. And he'll talk you out of it. Somebody will come tell you it's not God's will for you to be healed because you were such a bad man in the past. Or it's not God's will for you to be healed because really God doesn't heal today. That's just something those preachers are telling. God does not heal today. People have come tell you that. You can hear that preached if you go to the wrong places. So that's the people by the wayside. The devil comes and takes the word away out of their hearts lest they should believe and be saved. That's what Luke says about the situation. So that's one thing you'll have to remember is you'll have to stand for the Word of God. When Satan comes to steal the Word, you're going to have to know what the Word says, and you're going to have to stand for it. Once you see it in the Word, don't let the devil talk you out of it. That's one way that he comes to steal the Word. To implement in this, to press into the things of God, you got to be strong in the Word of God. And to be strong in the Word of God, you have to look at it more than once a week. You should spend time in it every day. If you want to stay on top, you spend time in the Word every day and believe what you read there. Amen.
I remember when I first held my son. It was in that moment that I realized how much God loves me. I would do anything for my children. I want the best for them.
God, our Heavenly Father, desires for us to live victoriously. He wants us to succeed and be on top in every area of our lives. He has promised you the best, but living in the best doesn't just happen. You must receive it by faith. How to Live in God's Best, a teaching series by Gloria Copeland, will give you the foundation to live a life of faith. Learn the importance of God's Word and how to use it so that you might live in God's best. Learn where faith comes from and how you get it. How to recognize and resist Satan's deceptions. What happens when you speak in faith and what happens when you don't. You are a child of God and being able to live in His best is promised to you. Decide today to live in God's best. To order your copy of Gloria Copeland's teaching series, How to Live in God's Best, log on to kcm.org and order online. This teaching is now available for just $18. To order by phone, you may call us toll-free at 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of How to Live in God's Best and learn to speak and act on God's Word in faith.
Our offer today is How to Live in God's Best. If you don't know how, you can find out how. It's simple, but it's not always easy, and it takes some doing. It's doable, but it takes some some pressing on our part to get into it. Satan will attempt to deceive you and to give up, talk to you, that tell you lies, things that aren't true. But God has the best plan for you. He's always on your side. You can resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but you have to do it. And you have to disagree with Satan and agree with God. And the manifestation of God's presence and his promises will come into your life. So order your CD series today. Today's message, the seed of God's word, grows in order to manifest the kingdom of God in our lives. God plants seed from the word. It comes in our heart. It grows. And it depends upon the soil, as you know. Today we covered hardened hearts. You don't want a hard heart. You want a receptive heart. Tomorrow we'll talk about other types of ground. It will help you to understand what might be hindering the manifestation of God's word in your situation. God, first of all, has a plan for you. If you're not in line with that plan, you're missing the best. You'll never be able to do the things you want to do and you need to do unless you get on God's side. So I'm encouraging you right now. Just say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Come into my life and do something with it. That'll work. If you prayed that prayer, let us know and we'll send you all these books free. This is called the Salvation Package. And you'll begin to grow and learn. Read your Bible every day. Each situation you have requires the Word of God. You need a continual diet of God's Word. Keeping your thinking straight. This Word will keep your thinking straight. It will show you how and teach you how. It'll correct you day by day. You've got a Bible if you don't get one. And begin to read it knowing this is God speaking to me. Glory to God. Grow up. Hallelujah. I'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this. God loves you. And Ken and I love you. And Jesus is Lord.
If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org to request your free salvation package today. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see the presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glenelg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come into that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.